Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Continue to lift Sister Jane up also. She's still experiencing some issues, but praise the Lord, we'll see her soon. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 17. We'll get there in just a minute. People all over the world have asked and continue to ask the question, who am I and what am I here for? Pastor Rick Warren wrote a book several years ago that instantly became a bestseller. It was called The Purpose-Driven Life. Churches all over North America did services and preaching and series wrapped around that subject for months, some of them even for years. The reason it became such a popular book and a popular subject is because virtually everyone is looking for their purpose at some point in their life. Everyone wants to know why they are here and who they really are. Young people are searching for their own identity. They want to be their own person, but have no idea who or what that looks like. Some people have midlife crises because they say they're trying to find themselves. Many people grow old and still have no idea who they are and what their purpose in life is. Today we have people who are hurting and confused and searching to such a degree to discover who they are that they question their very gender. I believe the reason so many people don't know who they are and have lost sight of who they are is because they listen to and take heart to heart other people's opinions about them. And they allow circumstances to try and define who they are. There may be some sitting here this morning or listening to this podcast that have been told all their life who they are. Other people have tried to define who they are. And every time they hear who they are, it just doesn't fit, doesn't set right with them. And it leads to frustration, and it leads to hopelessness. There are people who at some point in their life have had people or circumstances define them as a failure. People or circumstances define them as a nobody. Or people or circumstances try and place limits on their future. Some have been told they will never amount to anything. There are some people sitting here today who have been wounded and paralyzed by words from people and thoughts from the enemy all your life. The key to finding peace, the key to finding purpose, the key to finding out who you are, is to look in the right place. Amen? In Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 22, this is the Apostle Paul's sermon on Mars Hill in Athens. And it says, starting in verse 22, "And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Hallelujah. In him we live and move, and the King James Version says, and have our being. In him we live. It's the word zao. It means to enjoy real life. It's in him that we can enjoy life. It's him that we move. Amen? That we go about our lives. And it's through him that we exist or have our being. It's to be. Our life, if we want to find out who we are, we want to find out our purpose in life, if we want to know what things are all about, we have these people in Athens. They have every form of religion there. They had every form, every altar. If you go back and look at it, everything. They even had the unknown God, just in case we're covering all of our bases. If there's somebody out there that we don't know about, we're covering it and we're worshiping him. And Paul says, I'm here to tell you today who that is. Yes. Amen? It's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Praise the Lord. As the scripture text notes, it's in him. In him. Discovering him, discovering that you're not a mistake, discovering that he determined at what point in history that you would live and where you would live. That's what it says, right? That he determined your appointed times and the boundaries of your habitation. Well, I feel guilty that I was born in the United States of America and I'm just blessed. Don't be. Amen? Because it was God himself that appointed that you were supposed to be here. Where you were born. Where you lived. Amen? It's God himself. Praise the Lord. The Word of God says that God is not very far from us. All you got to do is reach out and experience God. Turn to God. Amen? We have too many people that are still searching for that, still struggling. Who am I? Your upbringing doesn't define you. Your circumstances don't determine who or what you are or what you are becoming. Your financial situation doesn't determine who you are. Your appearance doesn't determine who you are. Once we know who we are in Christ, it will change your life. Amen? One of the most important revelations we can get from the Word of God is to understand who we are in Christ. Identifying with Christ will change the way we live and cause us to rise above adversity. If you do not understand your identity in him, it will keep you living far below your rights and privileges. Amen? What does it mean to identify with Christ? In the natural realm, we identify people, we identify ourselves because of our race or our ethnicity, our gender, our age, our physical attributes, our political affiliations, our professional choices, professional affiliations. Amen. We if you're born in Ohio, most people proudly identify that I'm a Buckeye.
If you're born in Indiana, you're a Hoosier. Amen. If you have the unfortunate circumstance to be born in Michigan, you're a Wolverine. Say that jokingly. Amen. Where you go to school, you may be a Ram. Around here, you might be a Ram or a Buccaneer or a Panther or a Blue Lion or an Astro, you know. People identify with all kinds of things. As a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, we have a different identity. Amen? The dictionary defines identity as the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. The fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Being a Christian should identify you. People should look at you and say, oh yeah, they're a Christian. You identify as one. You identify as a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't identify as anything else. Amen? That's where our identity should be. We have an identity in the spirit realm that is much more significant than anything we could ever have in the physical realm. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Everybody doing okay this morning? Yep. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. The New King James Version reads, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved," praise the Lord, "and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." According to this passage of Scripture, you are seated. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's not something that happens in the future. You identify with Jesus Christ. Who you are, the way you think about yourself, the way you are viewed by the world, and the characteristics that define you should all be based on who you are in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You've been bought with a price. You've been purchased, the Word of God says, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're not your own anymore. You are to identify with Christ. You are to share in the same characteristics of Jesus Christ. Amen? That should be our goal, is to walk more and more each day more like Christ, to be more Christ-like. Are we going to be perfect? No, never. We going to blow it? Absolutely. A lot of us blew it yesterday. Some of us blew it this morning. Amen? Some of us will blow it this afternoon. But the fact of the matter is, it's a work in progress. But we aren't defined by those failures. We're defined that we are forgiven, that we are free in Jesus Christ. That Jesus is my Lord, and he's my Savior. He's my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to follow him no matter what.
Amen.
Amen? Praise the Lord. Too many people have an identity crisis. Believers have an identity crisis. They don't know who they are in Jesus. Instead of identifying with Christ, they are identified by their problems or identified by their past. Amen? The enemy wants to keep you there. Well, don't you remember
where you came from. Don't you remember how you used to act? Don't you remember all that? Well, I didn't remember it until you brought it up to me, but the fact of the matter is I'm forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. It's under the blood of Jesus. People identify with the problems they are confronted with and the burdens that are associated with it. We need to discover who and what we are in Christ. And to do that, we've got to look at the Word of God. If you go to the New Testament, primarily the epistles written to the church, get you a red pencil or a red pen or a highlighter, something that makes it stand out, and make every scripture that you has the expression in Him or in Christ and in whom, make it stand out. Amen? Or do something that I found very useful in my life since I became a Christian and doing studies, is go through and find them and write them out. Write them out in a notebook paper. And as you write them out, you'll see it and you'll remember it. And then you always have a reference to go back and look at it. There's about 133 scriptures. So you might need a few pieces of notebook paper. But there's 133 scriptures, give or take a couple, that if you go back and read those scriptures and speak them out and ponder on them, it'll change the way that you see yourself. Amen? It's not just hearing a sermon about it. Say, oh, wow. Yeah, that's good. In Him. Yes, amen. Glory to God. And then you walk out the door and you never think it again until preach on it again sometime in the future. Maybe next week. I don't know. But look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Our identities are formed through choices that we make. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is what? In Christ. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, some things have become new. All things have become new. Amen? It doesn't matter what your past was like. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your family was like. It says all things are passed away. The J.B. Phillips translation says, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Glory to God. Amen. It says, if you are in Christ, we are new creatures in Christ. We're not just forgiven sinners. We're not some poor, weak, staggering, sinning, barely getting along church members. The Word of God says, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you become in Christ, everything's new.
Amen.
Amen. Your past can't identify who you are. Your past can't determine who you are. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is the one who determines who you are. We are new creatures with the life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God in us. You ever notice in scriptures how often that God changed people's identities? Amen? They looked at themselves one way, but God told them who they really were. Remember Gideon? In Judges chapter 6, we're not going to turn there because of time, but in Judges 6 and 7, you read about Gideon. He's so afraid of the Midianites taking his harvest that he's threshing wheat in the wine press. He's hiding out. And in verse 12 in Judges chapter 6, an angel appeared to Gideon while he's threshing out, and it says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon looks around like, "Who are you talking to?" Amen. I'm not a mighty warrior. And he resists God. Gideon was acting like anything but a mighty warrior. But when you read through the account, it took some time, but Gideon finally trusted God and his word, and he stepped out on the word of God, and he began to see himself the way that God saw him, and he went on to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites and had a great victory. Amen. Just because you perceive yourself one way and you read in the Word of God that I'm a new creature or I am the righteousness of God through my faith in Christ Jesus, you see yourself a different way, you've got a choice to make. Doesn't mean you got to stay the old way. You can choose and say, you know what? That's what the Word says I am. That's who I am. I'm a new creature. Amen. Shut up, devil. Get out of here. I'm not listening to you anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. God also changed Abram's name and Sarai's name in the book of Genesis. Verse 5 says, "No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." God's words were fulfilled when Sarah gave birth to Isaac. One of the major tactics of the enemy is keeping you from finding out who you are. And he knows if he can keep you from the knowledge that he will keep you in bondage. We talked about freedom last week. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You're free from your past. Amen. You're free from what people said about you, things that people tried to make about you. God doesn't care what your background may be. He doesn't care what color your skin is. He doesn't care if you are bald or you have hair. He doesn't care where you were born. All God sees in you is potential. Praise the Lord. He knows that he's made a way for you to come out and to come out on top. Glory to God. He sees you becoming a champion. He sees you becoming an overcomer. If you've read the Bible at all, you'll find out that God specializes in making winners and overcomers and champions out of nobodies. Amen. I mean, he did it with Gideon. He did it with Abraham. I mean, Abraham, if you go back and read about it, remember when the 10 kings came and they attacked Salem and they carried off everybody? And it says Abraham took his 300 servants. You got 10 kings with armies came and defeated these kings. And Abraham takes his 300 guys. He must have had Navy SEALs with him. I don't know. Took 300 guys. Had to be. He had some special forces. Took 300 and defeated him and brought everything back. Amen. He is and was a winner. You are a winner. You are an overcomer. It doesn't matter what the odds are. Doesn't matter what your parents say. It doesn't matter what your grandparents say. Doesn't matter what your kids say. Amen?
Amen.
Matters what God says.
Amen.
You are more than an overcomer. Amen? You are a champion. Glory to God. The book of Moses. God starts talking to Moses out of a burning bush. God seeing his people afflicted and oppressed. God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 3, I want to use you to be a deliverer. Deliver my people. In Exodus 3, 10 and 12, he says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses was all excited about it. God calls you and tells you, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. And you're like, nah, can't do it. Who am I? You can say that several different ways. Who am I? Or who am I? Have different meanings. Amen? Moses, in verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses, the deliverer of God's people, had the same emotion and the same feeling that many of us have today. Who am I? Who am I that you could possibly use me? Amen? It gives the idea that Moses feels unworthy to do the work that God has called him to do. Anybody ever experienced that? Anybody ever felt unworthy to even accept the forgiveness that God has for us as children of God? God couldn't possibly love me enough. Don't know what I did. Doesn't know my past. Sure he does. He knows everything about you. He still loves you anyway.
Amen.
Amen. The reason Moses felt unworthy and the reason that we feel unworthy all comes back to the point of this message. It was because Moses was allowing who he believed he was to define him instead of who God was telling him he was. And who he was going to be. Amen? Are you going to believe who you think you are? Who others have told you you are? Who your circumstances have tried to define who you are? Or are you going to believe who God says you are? Amen? Moses asked the question that has been asked throughout history. Who am I? As you read the Word of God, you discover who you are in Christ. It then becomes up to you whether you choose to walk in it or not. In Exodus 3:12, he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you will serve God upon this mountain. Notice how God ignores the question that Moses asked him. Moses says, who am I? God responds with statements of how things are going to be. He says, I will be with you. Amen? He says, certainly I will be with you. And then he says, when you brought forth the people. We see the same thing happen time and again in the scriptures. He did it with Gideon, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, and many others whose life story we see shared in the Word of God. God himself calls those things that are not as though they were. Look at Romans 4:17. Hallelujah. Romans 4:17, as it is written, this is the New American Standard, a father of many nations have I made you. He's talking to Abraham here. In the sight of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Praise the Lord. In the natural realm, what God is calling us to may not even exist yet, but he can bring it into existence. See, we look through our natural eyes and it doesn't exist, but God looks through the spiritual realm and he can cause it to exist. He sees it there. We need to talk about ourselves the same way that God does. Amen? What does God say about you? What does God say about your future? What does God say about your present? Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? The Lord reminds him, it doesn't really matter who you are. What matters is who is behind you. What really matters is that I'm with you wherever you go. Amen. In him, we live and we move and we have our being. Everywhere you go, you take God with you. Amen? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. He said, wherever you go, Moses, I am, is with you. Wherever you go, doesn't matter. Don't be worried about Pharaoh. I'm with you. The I am is with you. Who am I going to tell sent me? I am sent you. Amen? The ever-present God. He's not the I was or I will be. He's the I am. He's there today. He's there with you in the midst of anything you're going through. Amen? He's always there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Colossians 1, 25 through 28 says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. Christ in us. Christ is with us. In the same way that God was with Moses everywhere that he went and everything that he did, God is reassuring us that he's with us in everything that we do. Our identity is in Christ. Amen? Our ability is in Christ. Our security is in Christ. Our peace is in Christ. We can fearlessly declare that God has made us righteous. Amen. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in Romans chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can stand in the presence of God as though we had never done anything wrong. We can stand in God's presence without a sense of condemnation or spiritual inferiority complex. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7-8 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." It says, "In whom we have." Right? How thankful we can be, we're not trying to get it. We already have it. We're not going to have it sometime. We have it now. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. A couple more scriptures and we'll close. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." He hath delivered us and has translated us, and we have redemption. All past tense. Amen? We already have it. We're not waiting for redemption. We're not waiting for forgiveness. We're not waiting for anything. Amen? We've been translated. We've been redeemed through his blood. Kenneth Hagin said this, "We are now delivered from the authority of darkness, from the power of Satan. By virtue of the new birth, we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We can overcome the devil no matter where we meet him or what to test. Satan's dominion ended and Jesus' dominion began in our lives the moment we accepted Jesus as Lord and we were born again." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our identity, who we are, is based on who we are in Christ. Amen? We're forgiven. We're redeemed. Amen? All the things that we can go through there and look at 133 scriptures. We just looked at a few of them. In him, we are the righteousness of God. Amen? All of it is because of him. That is where our identity needs to be. That needs to be what defines us. Not our past. Amen? Not anything else. What the Word of God says about us and who we are in Christ and who we are in him and in whom we serve. That's what we need to identify with. Days that the enemy, things aren't going so well and you're in the molly grubs. I don't know who says that. Just came to my mind, molly grubs. Must not be good, amen? When you're depressed and things aren't going well, you need to remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be identified by where we were born or by our past or by our failures, Lord, but we can just identify by who we are in Christ. And Lord, that we are redeemed, that we are forgiven, Lord, that we are part of the kingdom of God, and we've been redeemed from that kingdom of darkness. We've been translated out of it, removed from it. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, my prayer is that each of us that are here today and each of us that listen to this podcast, Lord, will just get this down deep within our spirits and in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, that who we are is determined not by people, not by circumstances, but by your word and but by you, Father. And I thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that we all just meditate on these things and reflect on these things, ponder these things throughout this week, encouraging ourselves, Father, in the Scripture, encouraging ourselves in you of who we are in Christ. And Father, I thank you and praise you for just strengthening our faith and strengthening our resolve. And I pray, Lord, that you just be with us through this week, just to enable us to share this message with other people that we come in contact with. Lord, that we will be open and receptive to recognize those divine appointments. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do in and through us. And I pray for Brother Jim that you would just continue to touch him and heal him and strengthen him. For our sister Jane, that you would just touch her and completely deliver her, Father, from this condition that's still afflicting her. Just a supernatural work, Father, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, just to touch her and to heal her. We thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray for your protection over each and every one of us as we leave this place today. Just loose your angels to go before us and surround us in your protection as we drive and as we do everything we're going to do this week, Lord. We thank you and praise you that you are with us, guiding us and directing us. And we just thank you for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.